In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In my first biology class, we were asked to give the characteristics of living things. And so we called out things such as living things move, they grow, or they reproduce, or have nutrition. And I'm sure you can think of other characteristics of living things. When we turn to the scriptures, we find that we, as believers, are born of God. And we too have characteristics. And one of these characteristics is that we love God and we keep his commands. And we read about this in verse 3 of our reading. Let me just read you these words. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. And today we're going to concentrate not so much on the loving God and keeping his commands, but to answer questions as to how we should keep his commands. How, meaning in what manner? And also secondly, how can we keep his commands when there is so much out there drawing us away, pulling us away from keeping what we find written in Scripture, God's will for us through his commands. So let us come to the first point. How are we to keep his commands? In what manner are we to keep his commands? And here in our passage, we are actually told, this is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. What we find here is that these commands are not like a great load upon our shoulders. But in fact, if we look at other pieces of scripture, other places in scripture, we understand that we are to obey his commands joyfully. And indeed, there is a contrast here between that of the very religious person. When we turn to the Gospels, we find the Pharisees with their religion. And if we look carefully, we see that they are concerned about how they are to keep God's law. How are they to keep the Sabbath? Even thinking about how far they should journey upon the Sabbath. They think about their fasting and their prayers. How they should wash their hands before they eat. And even going as far as to separate their spices, to separate a tenth, which they wanted to separate for the Lord. And when we look at their religion, it certainly seems that they have a checklist approach. At least that's the impression we get from Jesus' prayer, or Jesus' parable in which he speaks of the Pharisees' prayer. Remember that prayer? He thanks God that he's not like other men and that he fasts twice a week and gives away a tenth of all that he has. So we get this like I've done this, I've done that type approach to doing good, to keeping God's commands. And it seems that these Pharisees looked at their religion and it was a burden, at least a burden for others. And we find that Jesus speaks about how they tie loads upon people's necks and do nothing to help. But how are we to keep the commands if we are not to do like a checklist? Not to say, I've done this today, that today, I've kept this commandment. Well, of course, much has been written. But a story I heard when I was 14 years old, a story that I heard from the pastor in the church at the time, I have found very helpful, and I've often reflected upon this story, and I'd like to tell it to you now. There was a man who was a widower. His wife had died, and he needed help in the home. So he puts out an advertisement asking for someone to come and help him. And a young woman comes along and begins this job. But to her dismay, when she goes to work into this house, she finds that this older man has all these regulations, all these like little rules as to how he would like his house and how he would like it cleaned. And I remember, as I remember this story, as it was told to me originally, and I believe it was a true story, one of the things I remember about this was that the man himself did not like the teapot with the cold tea thrown into the sink. Now, we have tea bags here, but at least in my day, when I was younger, we had tea leaves. And when you threw the cold tea into the sink, then it made a mess all around. And I remember myself getting in trouble for making such a mess. And I was supposed to throw it outside in the drain or upon the garden. And so this man obviously did not like this woman throwing the cold tea and making a mess in his sink. And so this woman went each day to do this job. And she found the rules very irksome, very difficult. Anyway, she needed the money, she kept going. But over time, she began to like the man. And then she fell in love with him. And then she found herself not keeping these rules because she had to, but because she loved the man and wanted to please him. And so, for example, she found herself taking the teapot and instead of throwing the cold tea in the sink and making a mess, throwing it outside because she loved the man and wanted to please him. And I'm sure you can guess the rest of the story. She got married and hopefully lived happily ever after. But this is how we as believers keep the commandments. We love God and we keep them in order to please him. We're not making a checklist. We're not trying to check off all the things that we need to do. But we do these things because we want to please God who we love. And if we find that we're not doing this, we are just trying to struggle and think about all the good things that we need to do, all the commandments that we need to keep, maybe we should ask ourselves, are we really children of God? Because a characteristic of children of God is that they love God, keep his commandments, and they are not burdensome. But let us come to the second question. How are we to keep these commandments when there is so much like pulling us away from keeping the commandments? I mean, many young people struggle with this. They try to be faithful, they try to follow after God's word, but all of a sudden they have all these freedoms, all these opportunities. How are they going to remain faithful? And of course, this is not a new problem. The psalmist says, how can a young man keep his way pure, keep his life pure? It is something which many young people especially struggle with and have to think through. Well, John takes this problem seriously. And he uses a term, world. He actually uses world in different senses in his writings, but he often uses it in a sense of everything that is trying to stop us from keeping the commands of God. Everything that is pulling us away from doing God's will. All those things which are trying to prevent us from living to his glory, God's glory. And that would include our sinful desires. It would include the attractions outside, those things that we can see and do, and also the attitudes around us, whether it be extreme selfishness or the belief that money or being successful in a career is the most important thing in the world, or to be the most popular person. All these things we could put in this topic as the world. And this, of course, is what we fight against. But how can we be successful in this fight? Well, John would have known of Jesus' words in his gospel, in chapter 16, at the end of chapter 16, shortly before he dies, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And if we think about it, Jesus was obedient to the Father's will in every sense. He kept all the commands of the Father. When he died upon the cross and was resurrected again, he was victorious not only over sin, but also over the prince of this world and over death itself. And so, because Christ was victorious, so we, with God's help, can also be victorious. We too can overcome the world. We too can obey the commands of God. But you may say, are you saying that we can be perfect or sinless? No, not at all. If we look at 1 John chapter 1, we find that sin in the believer's life is taken seriously. But what I mean is that we're not smothered by the world. We're not overcome by the world. It's not so great a force that we're going to be beaten by it. But indeed, we will overcome it and be dominant and victorious over it. If you think of a boxing match, a good boxer against one who's not so skilled, he goes in and he can be dominant. He can be victorious in each round and victorious over the whole competition, the whole match. But it doesn't mean to say he didn't get hit. It doesn't mean to say he doesn't have a cut lip or a bruised eye. And likewise, when we confront this world with God's help, we too may find at times that we get bruised. But we can overcome the world with God's help because Christ himself has overcome it. Let us summarize what we've said. We looked at the fact that we are children of God, and the characteristic of children of God is that we love God and we keep his commandments. How do we keep his commandments? Well, we keep them joyfully because we wish to please God. We love him and we wish to please him. How can we keep his commandments when there is so much in front of us with this world as we've been describing? We can keep these commandments because Christ has overcome the world, so we too, with God's help, can overcome it also. May we, in the coming days and weeks, love God and keep his commandments joyfully and be victorious over the world with all its temptations. May the Lord bless this word to your hearts. Amen.